Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
You have your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 37. I'll read a few verses and then let you be seated tonight and just see what God will say to us in this service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 37, very familiar scripture, some great scripture to just encourage us and remind us that no matter how bad things are, God's able. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Tonight, for a few moments, just preach to you on this thought, back to life. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together for the preaching of the word tonight. Father, we love you and honor you in this house tonight. We are so thankful that you can do anything. And thank you for your presence and the privilege of being in your house once again. Tonight, Lord, let us hear what the Spirit would say. Let us be encouraged by it, God, tonight. For a little while, anoint these lips of clay that I may say something, Lord, that would encourage your people tonight. We'll be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. We ask this tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands one more time to the Lord? Maybe lift him up a praise tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Just shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You may be seated. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's his breath in our lungs. Didn't realize what they were singing tonight. Didn't realize how it would weave itself into this message tonight. But 2026, we talked about on Sunday, would be return. We're trying to let that word kind of encompass what our desires are for this year. Not that we've just gone off the rails or completely backslid or done something like that, but just getting back to the things that caused God to move in our midst. As we said Sunday, I don't want to be good at inviting his presence here and then sitting around trying to entertain everything else, getting distracted and not getting from him what he wants us to have. There are exceeding great and precious promises to the children of God. Yeah? There are a lot of faith scriptures that frustrate God's people because we quote them, but oftentimes we don't see evidence of those scriptures actually working in our lives. People ask and seek and knock, and it seems like nothing's happening sometimes. And we talk about having that grain of faith like a mustard seed and casting mountains, but seems like we can't move a molehill. Happens. But I promise you this, that as we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And as we return to him, he'll return to us. And what he said about believers in the scripture, these signs shall follow them that believe. And the things that we read about that they did through the book of Acts, we will begin to just see manifest in every service because that's the way church was designed to be. He didn't give the first century church something that he didn't want us to have. It's for us today as well, for the promises unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he saw through the ages those that would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And as he told them in the book of Acts, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And friend, it's that same power that dwelt in them in the upper room that dwells in us today right here at 110 Moores Grove Road in Winterville, Georgia. It's still the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's going to take the Spirit of the Lord to see some things start happening. And we need to desire more than just a one-time feeling and talk in tongues for a few minutes and say, wow, I received it, and then never, ever entertain that again. The Bible warns me not to quench the Spirit. So once the Spirit has moved in, I don't want to shut it off. I want the Spirit of the Lord moving in me. I want it moving in us. I want it moving in our church and in our midst. I want people to walk in and feel the Spirit of the Lord. I want them to feel the love of God, and I want them to be changed by that. And if they haven't been filled with the Spirit, I pray they don't leave without it. Praise God. No reason to. Praise the Lord. But as I was studying for the lesson today, I thought back to Sunday and the word return. And if we are going to return, if that's our desire, well, then we better first return or come back to life. I don't want to be scattered bones on the pew. I don't want to be scattered bones in the pulpit. I don't want to be scattered bones in my ministry. I don't want to be dry and scattered in this walk with God. And so before I try to return back to all these things, that these principles of Scripture that we want to do, be better to just come back to life first. The dead know nothing, the Scripture says, and dead don't even praise the Lord. So I want to make sure I can come back to life, and that's exactly what we read about in these Scriptures. I'm glad tonight that we serve the resurrection and the life. Yeah? When he declared that of himself, while he stood in the midst of a cemetery, while he was there with those who were grieving the loss of Lazarus, he looked around and to let them know, he said, I'm going to show you and tell you something here right now that will change the way you look at a cemetery from now on. Let me tell you, if you ever went to a cemetery and saw somebody come out of the grave, you would never look at a graveyard the same again. But he told them to roll the stone away, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the words of life broke through the darkness and broke through death, and Lazarus came back to life. It said, and he that was dead came forth. He came out of that tomb, and he was alive. And what death thought he had sealed up, Jesus brought life back to it. I want you to know tonight that it's able to come back to life. Hello. He was the friend of Jesus and he loved Jesus, but it didn't stop him from dying. And you can be anointed and called and love Jesus and find yourself in a valley of dry bones, because life can come and hit you pretty hard, pretty quick sometimes. Things can happen to discourage you and to upset you and to change the whole course of your life. But one thing is consistent. The Scripture says, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Aren't you glad to know tonight that you've got the source of life living inside of you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There are things in the world that will try to take the life out of you, so to speak. But that life dwells inside of you. It lives inside of you. And it's an eternal life. He's eternal. He's never ending. He's all powerful. He can't be defeated. Greater is he. The life force that flows in us is greater than what's trying to take our life in this world. This world, we could take our last breath here and it still don't stop the work of the Lord. Because when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. We're going to be with him. Friend, I'm thankful for the work that he does. And that's how he does in every situation. And it doesn't matter how bad it is. That's why Jesus would tell those people in John chapter 10. He said, there is a thief in this world, and he only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his purpose. He comes to wreck your life. He comes. He may come in smooth. He may come in offering things that look so good, but his only desire is to steal and kill and destroy what God wants you to have. He wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your peace. He would love to rob you of your family. He would love to bust up your marriage. He would love to isolate you and separate you and get you away from the house of the Lord. And Jesus knows that he is come to do that. And guess what? He's good at his job. But thank God for the next line. Jesus said, "But I am come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly." When the destroyer has come, when something has happened terrible and seemingly wrecked your life, he said, "I'm going to come in behind that. And when you feel like it's all over, it's been stolen, it's been killed, it's been destroyed, I'm going to give you life and life more abundantly." I'm glad he said more abundantly. Because if he just gave me life, that means I got to live in the mess that the destroyer made. But he said more abundantly. That means beyond. There is life beyond the stealing and the killing and the destruction. There is life beyond the mess that you've made of your own life. Jesus is able tonight to fix it. He is able tonight to put it back in order. He is able tonight to make it better than it's ever been. You know, I don't know what Lazarus looked like before he took his last breath, but a sickness that brings you to that point changes the way you look. We've probably all known someone that has passed away, maybe near to us or dear to us, maybe that had cancer or something, and we've seen how it can ravage the body. And people that were big and strong and in one time in their life, all of a sudden they're 89 pounds and their spouse can just lift them off the bed, and it really takes a toll before they take that last breath. I don't know what Lazarus was like before he died, what he looked like before he died, but he had been sick. It wasn't a sudden, he was sick. Jesus tarried and gave time for him to leave this world. But friend, when he come out of that tomb, I know it doesn't describe him. It says he was wrapped in grave clothes, but he said, "Take them grave clothes off of him, loose him and let him go." He said, "Go ahead and take the grave, because I want you to see." I guarantee you, he didn't look emaciated. He didn't have a smell of death and rot on his body. He was alive. The blood was flowing. The breath was flowing. The skin was back. His eyesight was back. Friend, he had all his abilities. He could come out of that tomb. He could walk. He could talk. He could hear. All those things. Friend, he completely did a new work in Lazarus. He was alive again. He wasn't living dead. He was alive. He was whole. He was complete. That's why when you see these lepers that he would heal, they would all of a sudden turn around and say, my flesh is like the flesh of a child. My flesh is returned again. Fingers that were gone or back and body parts that were missing or back and skin that was missing his back and I'm whole. He didn't just say, "Yeah, I'll prolong your life and let you stay disfigured," but he would fix them. The woman that was bowed over in her back, he didn't just say, "Oh, bless you, honey. The Lord bless you and be good to you. You can serve God like that." He straightened her up. He said, "Woman, you are loosed." The woman with the issue of blood, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll work on it and make it a little better." No, it was over with. It was stopped, and she was made whole. Her faith had made her whole. Lazarus's daughter, he went to her and said, "Daughter, arise," and she was completely alive again. That's what Jesus does to situations. We see it over and over again, how he comes to people without hope and he gives them hope. He comes to people with sickness and he heals their body. He's casting out devils. He's doing all these things. And that is the same Jesus that we serve today. He's still healing physical diseases. He can still remove things in our life that would destroy us, things that are trying to kill us. See, there was one man brought his son and said, "This spirit grabs him and takes him and tears him and tries to drown him, tries to throw him in the fire. It's trying to destroy his life." And Jesus said, "Out of here." And he was gone. Just a word from him is so powerful. And that's one of the themes in this portion of Scripture. It's the word of the Lord that gets things moving. It's the word of the Lord that speaks to Ezekiel and brings him to this valley of dry bones. And it's the word of the Lord that speaks and says, can these bones live? And he says, oh, Lord God, you know. Of course God knows. He knows everything. But he wants to see, what are we saying to these things? What are we speaking about? He's looking at Ezekiel. You've walked around, you've been around, you've seen this valley, you've seen these bones, and now after all that you've seen, you see how dire this situation is, and now you're talking with me. Can these bones live? Now Ezekiel knows nobody gives life but God. He knows that God is the creator, that he is the life, that he is the fountain of living waters. And he says, Ezekiel, knowing who you're talking to, I want to ask you something. Can these bones live? I'd like to ask the church something tonight, knowing who you serve, knowing what he can do, knowing that he's all powerful, knowing that he sees every bit of it, knowing that there is nothing that he can't do. Let me ask you tonight, can these bones live? Are you in the middle of a dry valley? Do you feel like your life has been scattered? Do you feel like things have been falling apart? Well, maybe they have, but let me ask you tonight, can these bones live? Come on. Can God breathe life and hope back into you tonight? You better know, honey, that he can. You better know tonight that God can pick you up and set you back on the right path. God can get you back into the land of the living. God can bring you back to life. Now, I want to get back to prayer. I want to get back to consecration. But honey, you better get back to life first. You better get back to where you can hear and see and praise God. You want to get back to being what he created you to be. Don't sit in the middle of the valley and just stay dry and scattered and separated, not a part of anything. Let God connect you. Let him put you back into the body. Let him bring you back to life. And I don't care what brought you to your valley. I don't care how dry you feel or how lifeless you feel tonight or even how scattered your life seems. I'm telling you, these bones can live. In the most desperate and dire situations, God can do the miraculous and bring you back to life. That's what he does. The question was asked in Genesis 18 and 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He asked this to a couple, to Abraham and to Sarah. And he was asking them this because they were wondering, God, you said we would have a child. But now we're nearing our late 90s. Abraham was almost 100. Sarah was almost 90. And things ain't the way they used to be when we were newlyweds. Things aren't the way they used to be. The scripture says in one place, describes Abraham as one as good as dead. Nothing a guy wants to hear. Sarah, he said he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Dead. Both of them had that. Described to them that they were just as good as dead. Oh, they were still breathing. They were still walking. They had been a promise made. God had promised. Oh, Abraham, I'm going to make your seed like the sand of the seashore. They're going to be like the stars of the sky for multitude. You won't be able to number them. And you're going to, all nations of the earth will be blessed in you, Abraham. I don't have one kid. But you're going to. I'm almost 100. My wife's 90. We don't have a kid. That clock ain't ticking down. That clock ain't ticking no more. And God said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham, Sarah, y'all saying that I can't bring life? That I can't, What you're doing is looking at your circumstance through your eyes, through that carnal mind, and the carnal mind is enmity with God. It can't be subject to God and to His ways. It can't understand those things. But God is telling them, it's nothing too hard. And about the time of life, Sarah will have a child. And just to fast forward, she did have a child. Isaac was born. Man, praise God. Let me tell you, it may look impossible in your mind, in your eyesight, in your mind. You've seen a lot of things, but remember what you know and remember who you know, and that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. God had made a promise. And even though it seemed impossible that they were past age, that it can't happen, it did. It happened just like God spoke it. And that's why I'm so thankful for the Word of God tonight, that God brought forth life to them, and one as good as dead, and He's about to bring forth life in the eyesight. He's going to let Ezekiel see this is what can happen with the Word of God. I'm thankful for the Word. We live by every word that proceedeth out of His mouth. When you read Ezekiel 37, the first 10 verses, you learn about these bones. You're going to learn about who they are and what God wants to do with them, how He wants to bring them to life. He tells Ezekiel, he said, what you want to do is prophesy to these bones. Speak a word and say unto them, hear the word of the Lord. Don't go down and try to do this yourself, but tell them, hey, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. One place Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Let me tell you something, church. When you feel like you're drying up, get to the Word. When you start to feel scattered, get to the Word. When you feel like you're going through the valley, get to the Word. Because the Word is spirit and the Word is life. And that's a very central theme in these portions of Scripture right here. Spirit and life, the Word of God. He said, hear the Word of the Lord, and I will cause you to live. He said that in verse 5. In verse 6, He said, and you shall live. He's just constantly telling them, you're going to live. But look how bad it is. They're not even put together. They're dry. They're scattered. Skull over here belongs to that leg bone over there. They're all over the place. They've been ravaged and bleached out, and there's nothing. There is nothing here, Lord. There is no life at all. But He don't need life to create life. He is the life. And when it feels like we're completely dead and plucked up by the roots, friend, I'm telling you, He's able to plant you again. He's able to bring you back to life again. He's able. In verse 11, though, verse 11 tells us who they are. Then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is God's people. they say, our hope is lost and we are cut off for our parts. We've been scattered. We can do nothing. We're not connected anymore. There's no life in us and there's nothing there. And we are God's people, but our hope is lost. But I want to tell you something tonight. You hear what your pastor is telling you tonight. You and I, we serve the God of hope. Yes. Romans 15 and 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing. I wish that we could just get back to believing God. If there's one thing we need to return to today, is we need to return to believing. The Scripture says, if any man come to God, he must first believe that He is. And he must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Tonight, can you still believe, despite the circumstances, can you still believe that God is able to bring you back to life? Can you still believe that God is able to bring you back to what He promised you, that the promise is not dead? The bones might be scattered, but the promise is still alive, for the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen. Come on, somebody. The gifts and calling are without repentance. God is still doing what He said He would do. And friend, He don't throw us away and start over with somebody else, but He says, just let me bring you back to life. I wish somebody would lift their hands and praise God in the house tonight. Bring me back to life, God. Breathe that life into me, God. Bring me back to life. Praise God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I wish the world, everyone in the world, could get filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't life be a lot easier? It wouldn't be perfect, because I still know Holy Ghost people, that's myself included, that we need some work. Come on. But friend, if people could get filled with the Holy Ghost. But he said, especially my church. The power, there is a power. The Holy Ghost is connected to our hope. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It is hard to believe when you cut off the power. But when you know that it's still there. Friend, let me tell you, I've seen people and heard of people in their last moments of their life where things were going sideways. They were in an accident. Things were happening, and they were about to leave out of this world, and they started just praying and thanking God as their breath was leaving their body, and they started speaking in tongues and went out of this world speaking in tongues. Friend, that's something. That's something. And when it gets bad, guess what? You can get down and start praying. And before you know it, you'll start speaking in tongues. And that's where you need to just stop and examine yourself. All this is happening, but that's still here. The promise don't flee because of trouble. It don't leave. It don't leave when you mess up. Friend, it's there to lead you back. It's the Holy Ghost. Friend, if there's any goodness of God, the Holy Ghost is it. And friend, the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. You start praying in the Holy Ghost, it says it'll lead you into all truth. And the truth is, sometimes we need to repent and we need to square up with God so we can get back to life. Woo! I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm thankful for God. Boy, it'd be tough trying to navigate this without the Holy Ghost, but I'm glad he gave us a guide. Praise the Lord. In these portions of Scripture, after the death, after the scattering, it says even after the loss of hope, God still had a plan. When he told Ezekiel to prophesy, he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. That's verse 7. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. Wow. There they were. They were just like Adam when God created Adam. There they were, flesh, blood, bone, all that. They were there, but it says there was no breath in them. The body without the spirit is dead. It says Adam didn't become a living soul till God breathed into him. He was perfect in every fashion, but he was dead. And as perfect as he was, he couldn't do nothing. And as perfect as this army was, raised up a great army, they couldn't do anything because there was no breath in them. They had the look, but they had no life. I don't want the look and be lacking the life. I don't want the look and be lacking the power. I want the breath of the Holy Ghost. I want the breath of God. I want the life. I want the power that he said I'd have. I want that same power that he said we would have when he breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. See, there's a lot of people that have heard a word and it's got them to a point, but they've stopped short. You'll never be everything you can be until the breath enters in. You got to have that breath. That's God's spirit. We got to have the spirit of God. The Bible says without his spirit, we're none of his. It doesn't matter if we've got the look, if we don't have the life. We got to have the life. And so don't be satisfied with anything less than the life, because that's the promise. In him is life. Friend, in him is life. That's the promise that we have from him, everlasting life. That's why he said in verse 5, you shall live. Verse 6, you shall live. He told them time and time again, choose life, choose life, choose life. What happened? In verse 10, verse 9, the Lord said, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. He reckoned them to, even though they were whole, he reckoned them to dead bodies. Say to these slain. Their circumstances had slain them. Their mistakes had took their life. Life had been stolen. They had been killed. Things were destroyed. But here comes life. Prophesy to the wind, and you shall live. And verse 10 says, and they lived. He said, I did. I prophesied. There was a word. He said, I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived. The word of God brings life. They stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. You don't have to just look alive. You can be alive. When I read that verse 9, and he says, prophesy to the wind, it reminds me of John chapter 3. He said, what's born of flesh is flesh. But flesh is nothing without the Spirit. Without the Spirit, the body's dead. But then he said, whatever is born of flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of spirit is spirit. Woo! Born again. He said, the wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Friend, he was showing people that they were alive once, but now they're alive again. They had been born again. We're born again by what? By the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says, not corruptible seed. They didn't go through the whole process of being born naturally. They were put together by the Word of God. The flesh, new flesh came upon by the Word of God, and life entered in by the Word of God. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God. That's just a foreshadowing of what we could have when the Spirit comes moving in, that rushing. Why on the day of Pentecost was it like a rushing mighty wind? I'm so thankful for the new life that God gives us. I don't have to just look alive. It'd be easy to dress the part. It'd be easy to pretend, but I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost that lives down inside of me. Oh, listen to me, young people. Don't just try to look the part, but get the life. Get the life. I know how it is when you're young sometimes. I know how I was. Now, this is before I came to the Lord, but you know, you tried to dress the part of whatever clique you were in your school. You know, if you was in heavy metal like I was, you had the spikes and the chains and the black makeup and skulls all over you, because you wanted to look like you was heavy metal. Ain't never been at that time, hardly ever been out of Georgia. I didn't know nothing about California and rock and roll scene, but I'm gonna dress like I do. I look like I could walk right out of one of them videos, man. It was on Night Tracks, and I looked just like y'all don't know nothing about Night Tracks, but you had to stay up late and watch Channel 17. Y'all don't even know about Channel 17, so I'm just... But then, you know, you had the ones that they wanted to look like the urban cowboy. Belt buckles, flannel shirts, boots and stuff like that. You know, that was their thing. They would fit in with their group. Then you had them punk rock people and things like that. But they all, you could tell everybody by who they looked like. If you was into that rap stuff and you know, all that, whatever it was, you could tell. They looked the part, but it wasn't none of them. It was just high school kids. Don't come to church and say, I'm just going to look the part. Man, get the Holy Ghost. Take it with you. Pray at home. Pray at school. Pray wherever you go. Live it. Let your light so shine before men. Don't drop your head because you go to a holiness church. Don't drop your head because you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Man, this is the life people need. That's how they're going to know that dry bones can live. That's how they're going to know that God can work in the valley. That's how they'll know that God can bring stuff back together. Kind of got off on that a little bit, but that is. I want to be born of the Spirit. God sees, God knows, and He knows how to fix it. He's ready to bring you back to life. He's ready to bring you back to life. He's ready to restore your hope today. Just hear the word of the Lord. Why? Because we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so don't ignore the Ezekiels in your life. I know today that preachers and pastors get it rough in the world. There's been so many that have done wrong and abused their position and abused their calling and they've called themselves and said they're pastors and said they're this and that, and they get caught in all this mess and now, you know, every pastor's got a jet plane and I don't. Every pastor's, you know, all I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that somebody took something so precious and turned it into something so ugly. But don't ignore the Ezekiels in your life. The scripture says that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were given for the perfecting of the saints, so that we're not tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Listen to the Ezekiels in your life. They've got a word that can bring you back to life. Praise God. Even if they're not your favorite preacher, it doesn't mean they don't have a word from God. You're not finished. You're not done. There's always hope. Listen to the word of the Lord. And that's what we would see with these bones. I mean, my goodness, what a crazy, desperate, dire situation. But look what God did to that. It was completely different. Imagine how Ezekiel's looking now. I don't see a bone anywhere. No bones. I don't see, and now they're all alive. What was death and finality and destruction has come back to life. Oh, that's the God you serve. Can you hear me? That's the God you serve. Can you hear me? That's who He is. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say our hope is lost. Your hope's in God. And He said, I'll never leave you. Hope never leaves. It's always there. As long as there's breath, there's hope. I'm thankful for it tonight. Can these bones live? Yes, they can live. And Jesus would go, man, He would go to desert places and do the miraculous. Jesus, there ain't no food out here for these people. We in the desert. All we got's this kid's lunch. Feed everybody. How? With that. How? Through me. Fred, just obey my word. Go feed them. And His word fed them. Hey, launch back out there. I know you've been fishing all night. I know you're tired. I know you're aggravated. You didn't catch nothing. Launch back out there into the deep and cast that net. Oh, I told somebody, I heard this on a podcast the other day. Man, when you submit to the word, the miracle's coming. Peter was a fisherman. He lived fishing. He made his living fishing. He provided for his family fishing. No doubt he had learned from his father and maybe grandfather about fishing. He probably had, you know, scales stuck to his clothes. And here comes a carpenter with sawdust in his sandals and said, hey, shoot on back out there in the water and throw that net over there and catch some fish. Maybe he wanted to say, why don't you go make a table? But instead, he said, I've worked all night, caught nothing, but at your word. I like to think, this is just me, no proof about it, but just knowing how Peter was through the rest of the scripture, I like to think he thought he was fixing to show everybody, this dude don't know what he's talking about. But instead, he dropped that net, and they couldn't pull it in the boat. It was so full. It was so full. He finally had to run to Jesus and say, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Look what happens when you submit to the Word of God. He always knows better. Well, this is my life. Yeah, sure, but He's your Creator. And you don't even know your life better than He does. Because he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. You don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. He already knows. He knows what the next sentence that's going to come out of your mouth. He already knows. Let me tell you, God knows you better than anybody. He created you, breathed life into you, made you a living soul, filled you with his spirit. You are his. You have become his. You've received the spirit of adoption, and you cry, Abba, Father. You become his. You're baptized into the body by the spirit. Let me tell you, he knows you. Listen to him. Obey his word. Come back to life. Come back to life. Ephesians 5 and 30. I love this scripture. I'm going to be stopping right at 8. So if music wants to come on, that'd be great. Ephesians 5 and 30 says, we are members of his body. We are members of his flesh and of his bones. All that's covered in Ezekiel 37. But there's one thing I love about this word, because we are of his flesh, we are his body, his bone. You know, there's a prophecy that concerns Jesus, and it was fulfilled at the cross. When they came to him, they saw that he was dead. He was on the cross. They wanted to make sure all these thieves, that they're dead, they're going to break their legs. But they come to Jesus, they see that the life has already left his body. And so they didn't break his legs so that the scripture could be fulfilled. He keepeth all his bones. That's Psalm 34 and 20, if you want to know. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Not one of them is broken. He keepeth all his bones. Who's his bones? We are his body. We are his flesh. We are his bones. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. It didn't say anything about those bones being broken. They were just scattered. And then they were put back together. John 1 and 4 says, in him was life. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Acts 17 and 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Our lives, the scripture said, are hid in Christ. And he knows that we get dry. He knows that we get scattered. And he knows that we lose hope. But he also knows these bones can live. In verses 12 through 14, another prophecy. He told Ezekiel, speak another word to him. When I've done all this in their life, he says, speak this. Thus saith the Lord God, behold my people. Now there is people. He's talking to them because they can hear him. I will open your grave. I'll cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into your land. You'll know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And I'll put my spirit in you and you shall live. I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I'm going to bring you out. You're going to live. And you're going to know who done it. You'll know that I am the Lord that has done this. Philippians 1 and 6 says that God will finish the work in us. That's paraphrasing it real quickly. God will complete that work in us. He's not going to leave us scattered in the valley. He's got a word of restoration, a word of healing, a word of completeness for you tonight. You hear the word of the Lord. 25 tried to wring us out, but God's here to bring life back into us. And we're returning to life, and we're returning to him. We're returning to consecration. He said, I'll bring you to your land. There's a place he wants you. There's a place that he wants you. And God's going to bring you to that place now. Now that he's brought you back to life, he wants to bring you to the place that he has for you. So stand with me tonight. If you feel like you're dry, scattered, lifeless, hopeless, that can change tonight. Hear the word of the Lord. These bones can live. Hear the word of the Lord. There is hope tonight. He is the God of hope. And if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, if you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it can happen tonight. Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. He spoke to God's people. But I believe they were just like that valley of dry bones. And when he told them about the crucified Savior, that he was their Lord in Christ, they said, "What shall we do?" And he had a word from the Lord. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Just like Ezekiel spoke new birth to those bodies that had been slain, Peter spoke new birth to God's people on the day of Pentecost, devout men from every nation. And they heard him. And that day, 3,000 that gladly received the word were baptized in the name of Jesus, filled the Holy Ghost. And Israel came back to life that day. Friend, it's time for us to return to life. Let's return to life. Let's come back to life tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.